today I want to discuss the actual state of the industry. As in, I hear a lot of people, well, not necessarily complaining, but just noticing that everything is getting rough out there. And I wanted to know what your experiences are so far.
Look at my glasses. I cannot afford buying new ones.
Yeah.
The state of the market is... it's a disaster out there. No, but it's really less you can notice, but I think it's an overall economic thing. You can notice people have less to spend on things like festivals, clubs, and you can see overall, and it's worldwide, to be honest, a little downfall in parties and party opportunities, festivals, and just you name it. You can see all the big names are out there, but the big names of festivals, they still sell out. But there's a whole tier of smaller festivals which do not sell out that easily, and they try to program differently. It's not helping all DJs.
So main DJs still get booked and smaller DJs are screwed right now.
Well, not screwed per se, but you have to adjust. But that's life. It's not a big thing, to be honest. There's still enough to go around. And also, if you invest enough in your fan base and the people that visit you, you can still have enough draw and you can make your rounds. The world is a big place, but it's definitely different. And what you also see is a lot of... whereas in 2014 there was just one main thing, which was Big Room, there's a lot of stuff right now. Why are you laughing? Because I'm a pixel? Or
because I... No. You're hapering. I can't
your
hear
connection
you're saying,
is
your connection
the
is
the worst.
But it was good the whole time, right?
Turn off your download.
Yeah,
turn
but once we start downloads. Recording, once we start recording, it doesn't just upload like real time, but also like the back end. So it starts uploading as well. So your internet connections kind of need, but the double the
back end. Are we talking now about Padel?
About
Padel?
Pedal.
Padel.
No, well, yeah, okay. What can I do to improve? I have KPN internet. It sucks.
I have KPN at home. They were actually really good, and they also provided amazing service when the fiber didn't work the first week. I don't know. But here we have Ziggo, I think. So we're still open to sponsors. Maybe we need a sponsor that then sponsored new internet for Ralph.
If that would be useful.
It's the state of the market, man. I have the cheapest plan of internet, 1 gig a month. No, well, I can switch to my 5G. I'll switch to my 5G, bitches.
You could try. What's your opinion, Jay?
He should switch to his 5G. No, it is definitely different out there for DJs. I think the market is very oversaturated, or saturated is maybe already enough to say. But yeah, there's just many, many DJs out there and way less spots on festivals. You notice this basically in every market. So you see that the fees are less, like what they're offering. But that's also because what they're making, like promoters and festivals, what they're making is just less. So that obviously then means less money, less budget for DJs. And there's just it's like for DJs, it's so easy sometimes to like have a hit through TikTok or like have a lot of plays. But then still, it's that connection to like having a lot of plays on your song and then getting the bookings is also well, very difficult now, I think. There's really like promoters kind of want the full package of like, you have good streams, you're on the radio, and then also you have like a very good presence on your social media. So you like go viral every now and then on TikTok. You have really this personality. Yeah, so it's just different from before, where you had a song that did well, you had bookings. If you had a good agent, they could put you in good spots on festivals and good spots on clubs. And that's just way more like fighting for your spots, I guess.
Yeah, but is this am I good now? I think so. Huh?
Yeah, better.
There are two causes. For one, there's a lot of diverse sorts of parties. You have techno, hard techno, the housey vibe, somewhat more party vibe, and you have just a lot of niches nowadays. And on top of that, the other thing is also, it's kind of diffuse to measure how popular an artist is, because one can have 500k followers on TikTok and less than 300,000 monthly streams on Spotify, for instance. Is he popular? Will he draw a crowd? I don't know. It's really hard to measure. And both of those metrics or those things that you see happening makes it really hard to define. But yeah, for an artist, it's just too important to invest in the people that follow you and like you and come to your parties also. Have a chat here and there. Do a little shout out if they have requests of songs of yours that they want to hear played. Hey, you definitely have to listen to it. You don't have to comply, but yeah, invest in them, make them heard. And yeah, I think that's actually more fun also.
But how do you deal with that? As in, what I hear from artists around me is that, as you mentioned, it's not just Spotify plays, it's not just TikTok followers, it's the full package.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. So the main problem, what I see happening now with most artists, is that they're either focusing on building their Spotify page, so let's say getting as many monthly streams as possible, or they're focusing on becoming an influencer with content.
Yeah, and maybe both are wrong. You can also just make music, do what you love, and present your vision, and fuck all the rest.
And what does present your vision mean?
Just make the music as you envision it, what you think the rest of you do. Yeah.
What if you release your music and nobody hears it?
No, that's the main problem. That's not, I mean, that's what it should be about. That's the like ideal or the Kumbaya version of a perfect world. It's people making art. That's what it's about. But in practice, obviously, it doesn't work like that. And I mean, all the great actors don't do indie films all the time. They also do the big ones, the blockbusters, get seen, and then try to present them with something they really love also, a certain indie film.
So how does that translate to an artist?
It's really hard to be. I mean, I'm not a clown. Do I have to do fucking dances for TikTok? No fucking way. I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
I think what happens a lot is people are overanalyzing like successful people, or like, hey, what does John Summit do? He posts on TikTok. He does this and this and this. Oh, this is what I need to do to have the same amount of success. First of all, even if you do the exact same and you're just as funny or whatever, it might not even work, you know, because it's already done and just you need a bunch of luck and a good timing. But second of all, people already have that, so they want something that's new. So you can analyze successful artists all you want, but I think it's very important to like have your own vision and get some inspiration from other artists, how they present themselves maybe, or how they hey, this is a cool piece of content. I'm gonna make my own version of that. have something to add that people don't have yet. And that's that you can only do that by making stuff that you think is cool and that you think is the best you can do. And if then no one likes it, I mean, that's also, yeah, life, you know. You can't force people to like stuff you make. It's a bit like you can force people to listen to your song. So you can put headphones on your friend and be like, listen to my new song. But however he feels about it, you can't change that.
Yeah.
You don't have any influence on that.
But it's hard, you know, because what we're really struggling with is also in the productional phase, I'm not making tracks like I used to. I'm also like, okay, these 8 bars can be my TikTok snippet. And also what I see on TikTok is how you plug something there is to continuously, how do you herhalen?
Repeat it,
you know. But what are you going to show? Continuously the same thing or something different? I mean, you have Marlon playing it and I can show how I made it in the studio, but that's about it. And then what you see is people standing outside making a video with their laptop. Oh, and hey, this is my grandma and now showing her my new track and all that sort of stuff. But it helps to plug your track. It's the new plugging of your track. And even the Spotify playlist gatekeepers, they also look at it. And man, it makes you really have to be all over the place and your attention has to be all everywhere. And to be honest, that's hard. And also in the productional phase, it already starts because what works on TikTok is definitely not what works per se on the dance floor, because there you want to have somewhat more of a build or a little bit a different arrangement approach. And then I'm like, fuck, man.
It's very overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming, all the things that come with releasing a song, for example, now. And I think if you make music, you have to like figure out where is your time going to be. Is it going to be 80% in making music and 20% in marketing? Well, you're going to have less people listen to your track, basically, but you're maybe going to have a better track.
Or not. Or, they consume differently.
Yeah. Yeah. But, or you have like 50-50, or you do like you spend 20% of your time on making music and 80% on the rest, but your music will probably suffer. For me, it's like, it's so overwhelming, all the things you have to do. I went back to the basis. Hey man, I want to create good music. I want to focus on my craft. And the fact that I have less shows than like before COVID actually helps that. I can put more time into getting better at making music in a time where, let's say, EDM, electronic music, is a bit less popular, maybe, like we said before. And then hopefully come back like with some awesome new shit, you know, like some new great music. But that's how I approach it. And I think you have to think about how you approach that stuff. And I always think, if I force too much, like, hey, I want to be popular or whatever, or like do what scores, for me, that doesn't work. So back to the
yeah,
to the
but it's weird, huh? Because what I like, Creed's Push Up, big hit, and it started on TikTok. If you listen to that snippet, it's amazing with the whispering and it's cool. But the whole track, have you ever listened to the whole track on Spotify? It's fucking complex, man.
yeah.
If I would let have people listen to, except for that minute where you hear the whispering and the melody, hey, the rest, man, nobody will ever like that. It's a weird track. It's really, really niche. It's really, but still, it has like more than 100 million streams now. And what I actually like about it is Creed's really made something that he loved, you know, and still you can score with it. So it doesn't quite matter if you make a, you if you want to make success, that will never happen. If you make success, you just got to stick what you really like. And it also can be really complex. But man, now it makes it also really hard to plug your track, because that's also diffuse. Because somebody can like it on Spotify and gain all those streams, and on TikTok or Instagram, it just doesn't live at all. And then it's for nothing, basically, because it also has to be vibrant across the board, you know. People have to talk about it because it's such a cool track. And that makes it so hard. And maybe also that because there's so much to choose about and so many ways to consume music. I mean, I can also, I'm that guy also now that I swipe on TikTok. I really like those clips from the Verknipt festivals. And I like that music. I like how they approach it, that they have a bit of different approaches to when it's going to drop. It's not per se a build and then it's dropping. And but yeah, and sometimes I like an artist on TikTok and I have no clue if it streams or what it does. And that makes it so diffuse.
I think music used to be for like electronic music used to be the content on social media. And now it's very much in those, all those, a lot of TikToks. It's like a bit of a, yeah, we have a cool video. Now we need some, just some cool music. Let's go through the viral top 10 and we...
No, because that. Some of the videos are just crappy quality and I also like that. And it doesn't...
Yeah, I mean, like the main content is not about the music, you know? Like a lot of stuff that goes viral or has like a... There's now this guy from the UK going viral because he had like a few beers outside a cafe with his friends and he filmed it like, oh yeah, good chat with my friends. And people are hating on it. And then people are reenacting that. So that sound is going viral, but it's not the music that then like triggers that. It's just they use that song because he accidentally used that song or like just as a coincidence. And now that's going viral, but it's not about the music. And I think that's a lot of times also the thing where we or I would like drop a teaser for a track. And it was just like me, you see me jumping on stage. But the music was like people were triggered to like, whoa, react and respond. And now it's like, yeah, we see you jumping on stage and on a song. But where's the fun? You know, where's the gimmick or the thing that what the video is about? So it's I think that also shifted the last, let's say, 10 years or so.
We're not Gen Z enough, I think.
No.
Well, the question is more like, how does this impact or transforms an artist's career in the future? As in, it's not going away. You know, TikTok is here. The way how people consume content is just radically changed. The way how we feel about music has changed. You know, we don't see it as valuable as we used to. So what will be a way to kind of fix that, you know? And I completely agree with the fact that you should go back to the basics and should go back to being your authentic self. But at the same time, that also means, for most artists at least, that you're going to lose a big part of your audience, or that you're going to take a step back, let's say, because most of your audience is the TikTok audience, is the audience that wants to be entertained. And if you're not going to do it, someone else is going to do it. And I think that's the struggle, you know. You need to be okay with taking maybe even a few steps back. And I'm a believer that in the future, it will be more about smaller communities, so smaller fan bases, instead of trying to get like a million followers. It's more about taking care of those 10,000 real ones than it is about serving a million people who are not really interested in what you do. You know, they kind of hit you the following button somewhere in their life, but don't really engage with the brand. But there's always this small group, let's say 5 to 10%, which is super dedicated with what you do. They keep track on the releases you do. They keep track on where you play. And that's the people you want to cater to. That's the people you want to give attention, because they give energy and attention back. And right now we're kind of in that weird middle phase where we all feel that that's kind of necessary and that that's the necessary step we need to take. But at the same time, we are still like getting pulled into this whole TikTok algorithm thing where we have to deal with because it's there, you know, you can't just delete it or whatever. At least that's how I think about it. And maybe it's a part of hopium, as in I hope that it's going to go that way.
Yeah.
It could also be that, the whole content part is just not going to disappear and that it's
it's here to stay, definitely. Yeah, what I do like about it is
that certain, going to a show is like, it's not only about the music and it's about having a cool experience.
It's entertainment, right?
Yeah, and I like that it's maybe a little bit more about your live show and about the experience than the music per se. And I think that's because what we always did was we made music for the set. And that's what popped up on Spotify. Whereas you also saw guys that didn't even play their own tracks in the way they made them, that they played different sets. What I always thought was really weird. And I like the fact that it gets more recognition now that what you do on stage and deliver there is more important because that's what it's about. It's about dancing to the music at a party. It's clubbing .
But I guess that this is the problem because I'm not sure if you've seen that video from Geta a few weeks ago where he was talking about creating content and playing a crowd and stuff. I think that that's the question. Like, going to a festival,
nothing is that still being. Yeah, nothing against him, nothing against Geta, but maybe he can also ask himself because you first have to look to yourself. Because if everybody's there with their cameras up, maybe he's doing it wrong because there are parties like Verknipt, which I really like. You don't see.
Buy shares in Verknipt?
No, not yet. But we're about to. No. But you don't see the people with their phones up and all the stuff. To be honest, it's also, I think they do a little bit more drugs there than the average party, which also helps. But
is it more like an underground genre?
Well, yeah, but it's big and it's massive, man. It looks amazing also. I really like the energy that's around there. And you know, but we also see what Geta sees at shows, but it's up to us to have them it has to be more about the experience. So what you can also try or experiment. I mean, if I see the Geta show at Ushuaia, what he was talking about, man, the production looks amazing. It's like going to a movie. And it looks amazing. I myself also then take out my phone and film it because I want to show, look at this, man, it looks amazing. But if you go to some of the hard techno parties and you have all the lasers, which also looks amazing, but it's not about grabbing that phone. If you see Afterlife, man, it's all about grabbing that phone. But there's also something you can also say, fuck it, I'm going back to the basics. And my production is also going to be about that and not about the big LED screens and, you know, name what. I got to say, that Sphere show of you too looked fucking amazing also.
Yeah, oh, man. Sick, right?
I would take my phone out.
You bet it's you too.
Huh?
Well, I would love to see a show there, but I'm not a big fan of U2.
Oh, me either. But it looked amazing.
What they did, and they put money into it, I think, in the whole Sphere project. So it's incredible.
But what I'm hearing is, don't focus too much on the entertainment because then you drive away the attention from the music.
When I was younger, I went to clubs here in Holland, and I
was younger.
I'm like a vampire. I stay the same age, I hope, except for the hair. That was really in the, I don't know what it's called anymore. Was that the Vanilla Fabriek in Rotterdam? And you had Speed Freaks parties and all that kind of stuff. Benny Rodriguez played there. But it didn't have all the schmuck. But it was like this industrial shit, man. It was like, it was really cool. You also had the door bitch, which looked at you, oh, you don't look cool enough, go home. And I actually like that. Maybe a little bit Berlin vibe. But I actually like that. And it was about different things than it was is now. And yeah, I mean, we have to look at ourselves.
A lot of things, like I think a lot of followers stopped following and started being more of the main character of their own lives, like because of social media, because everybody is like, has this persona built of themselves online where they're showing like, look how cool I am, look how hot I am, or look at my muscles, or look at which cool parties I go to. So instead of like, whoa, I'm going to a Skrillex show, I want to see Skrillex, it's like, hey, look at me, I'm going to a Skrillex show, look at me. So they're more the main character. So that means, I think, that they also follow less. So they don't follow Skrillex as much. They're focused on, hey, how can I get people to like me and follow me? So yeah, it's like that Instagram
account. Like, how can I make this about me?
Yeah. But that's what everybody's doing. You know, it's like you see it with big artists, but also with... Yeah, the small accounts, you know.
But the point is, you don't see it at all parties. So it is possible to have people there that keep their phone in their pants.
Yeah.
And
I think so. But I also just think there's a lot of crowd that, like, if we say the 20-year-olds now, I think a lot of them would be way more following and like not so much care about what people think of them online, maybe, and they would like follow actively more. And I think that's just has gone down, maybe, because of social media. And there's so much, and everybody wants to be a star. So that also doesn't per se help. But I agree. I think, yeah, those experiences. Everybody should experience that. You know, getting. Like, you're not cool enough by the door, bitch, and like go home. Who knows? Maybe it depends a bit on Gen Z, I guess. You know, they decide what they how they will start.
In the end, it's nice that there's something for everyone now. And actually, like, there's a lot of choice, and especially in where you go clubbing, whether it's dance or a different genre. There's a lot to choose from, and I think that's actually refreshing.
Yeah, unlike Dutch politics, where you can choose between shit and shit, you know, it's like...
you want to talk politics?
No, I don't want to talk politics. But it's like... We have
don't go in there rabbit hole. We went in there last night. We talked about it for 2-3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Do you already know what you're going to vote?
No, I have no idea. I also think they do like the what's the stelling in English, like
stand.
You do a debate. You do like do you agree with this or not, and then you can figure out who you should vote for. But it's so, like, a lot of those things are so more complicated politically than you can say a yes or no to. So I think I really need to find out more about the actual programs of all the political parties,
but that's also connected to like the thing we've been talking about. Like, everything needs to happen in like a flash these days. So you get 2 seconds of attention from a person, and in that 2 seconds you need to drop your point, you need to sell your track, you need to convince them to become a fan in 2 seconds. But for politicians, it's the same, you know, like, it's so complicated, but they only get like 5 minutes on stage during a debate to drop their point, which is impossible.
And all you see of them is 10 seconds on a viral TikTok from
You also notice that in those 5 or 10 minutes that they get speaking during like a debate, they try to drop as many bombs as possible so they can clip it and use it for TikTok. And it's, I don't know, like that's why I like long form podcasts, because you can actually have a conversation with someone for 3 hours and go at least a little bit more in depth than just touching the surface. You know, I think that's important.
Yeah.
You have in the Netherlands, you have, do you know Rutger Bregman?
Does ring a bell.
From that book, like De Meeste Mensen Deugen.
Yeah.
He's the guy from The Correspondent.
Yeah, he's a world-known writer at this point. But he has a Dutch podcast where he invites politicians now every week. And his goal is to be the most boring podcast on earth. Because he said, like, it's not fun to talk about these things in long form, but it's necessary. You know, we need to do this. Otherwise, we need to start. We have to make decisions based on clips, you know, like on like quotes. Like, doesn't make sense. So it's a fun listen.
The nuance is gone, and that's that should be fun if that comes back. But I noticed that with all the stuff going on in the world right now, like people on my timeline as well, they throw out their statement. It's like, this is the truth. You have to agree with this or whatever. And I just think like, yeah, I would love to talk about it for a couple hours, you know, and like get all the nuances, because it's so important, especially with these kind of conflicts all around the world. But that is very difficult. That is gone as well. That whole, basically the context of stuff. And I think that's also as an artist, like, yeah, people don't really care that much about the whole context. They just want like, hey, that's a cool song, man. Like, yeah. And then they don't care where you came from, or which is also cool, because that means a guy in his attic can make a worldwide hit.
That's what happened 10 years ago.
But would you,
it still happens.
Would you say that's a good or a bad thing? As in, on one hand, I do believe that technological innovation has brought a lot of positive things to this industry, but at the same time, like that whole race to the bottom kind of feeling that I get from it is a problem.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Sorry. Interesting, man.
Ralph is a loud yawner.
Yeah.
Loud.
I'm a bit hungry. That's the thing.
Yeah. We're going to keep it short today. We're going to close off now.
You know, I wanted to throw in one. Man,
the food's there.
No, I think he just left, but he should be back already. But what is interesting is, and I'm not sure if I have my numbers right, but I read that weekly there's either 120 or 200,000 tracks uploaded to Spotify. And if it's 120K or 200K, actually doesn't matter. What the fuck?
And it used to be like 40,000 a week, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but still, there's so much to choose from. And to be honest, most of it's crap. You also have the tracks that are just a little bit more over 1 minute or 30 seconds, I don't know what. But also, if you have more than 100,000 listeners monthly base, you belong to the top 1% of Spotify. Also interesting, I think. I didn't know.
Is that Ralph ending with a positive note?
Also,
I'm always positive, man. It's opportunity everywhere. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that? Spotify is not going to pay out if you're under a certain amount of monthly listeners or streams.
I think that's a very good thing. No, that's good, man.
But it's the same with labels. I hate the fact that people have payment boundaries. As in, I get it. I totally get it. Like, In the back end, it costs a lot more money for a company to pay those 10 euros than they don't, but it just doesn't make sense. It's broken, you know, like I want instant payments. Why isn't that there yet? Like,
but that's also hard? From the government's tax reasons, all that kind of shit. It's quite complex. And I actually totally agree that they don't do the small payments. If you weed them out, that just saves you time.
And there's a lot
time
of money
to do their core business.
There's a lot of money that then will never get paid, because it's like about a euro for some artists, for example. But that's like for thousands, hundred thousands of artists maybe, who have like a euro, and there's like 100 euro how do you say, 100 euro they have to make before they
The administrative costs, are higher than that stupid euro.
1 euro. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's something we just gotta accept it. If you don't have the numbers, then you just gotta accept it.
Don't get paid. You know, it's like it will be people that already don't get paid.
Hey, but how about this one? Like a normal label gets around 65% of all revenue, and the rest is for the artists, writers, just you name it. Is that fair?
No.
What up?
Well,
and if you see all those recoupments they do, what the fuck?
I do have friends who started a label and they were like, we're going to do everything 50-50. They are also like, oh, wait, now we understand a bit more why you can't like...
That's because the business model is broken. It just doesn't add up anymore.
No. No, but you also got to imagine like legal costs, you know?
Everything.
Stuff. But that doesn't have, like legal costs is not, doesn't have anything to do with the business model being broken, I think. It's like...
No, but the fact that their costs don't come up with like the income, as in it's not... It doesn't make sense. Like for most labels, at least like the medium to smaller ones, it just doesn't make sense to start a label anymore because you don't make enough money because streams are lower, Spotify doesn't pay that much, everyone gets their cut. And at the same time, artists are starting to ask for more because they, with 30%, like some artists sign for 70%. No,
they don't ask for more. I got to say the labels do, because if used to provide for an artwork and now you actually have to pay for the artwork, it's recoupable, but still, dude.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like artists are starting to ask for more because they've taken a lot from them in the past years. Like the deals of 60, 70% are pretty normal these days. So artists are starting to get angry as well because now they don't make any money. And that's what I mean. Like the whole thing is out of balance because, it's just the business model of releasing music seems to be broken, unless you do it yourself. But then you don't have the power.
Maybe
of,
the price of streaming indefinitely is way too.
Studio is gonna change the game. Actually, I think.
What?
FL Studio now has FL Cloud, and apparently you can also release your music there. In cooperation with DistroKid, if you have a subscription, I still have to find out the details. But
that's cool.
That's what I read.
You know, I actually like the new feature of the FL that had it in beta. With the stems.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
It's gonna. I wish we had this 10 years ago for like your sets and bootlegs.
It can separate stems, you know, from existing tracks. Yeah. Bootleg. So here we go.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
It's like an AI tool
out of a track.
Is it like an AI tool?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we're gonna end it here. So Ralph's gonna get food, and we'll.
Food, man! It's so amazing. Love it.
Fry Friday.
Nice. I'll make a picture of it.
Nice.
And then look at it. Only me.
Next time we should do another live event, and then Ralph should also be there. Like, hey Ralph, we missed you, man.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah, man. Pooh. I'm in my house now. Dust has settled down. I'm at ease now, and I missed out. Looks really cool.
It was fun. I think with Gnome there as well. I think you and me, Ralph, are can be polar opposites, and then Gnome is like the guy in the middle.
Yeah, boring.
But although I think today, Ralph, we really agreed on a lot of stuff. Like,
hey, if you get sensible, we can agree on a lot of stuff.
Hey, I will try.
Okay.
I will try.
Yeah. Okay, guys, see you soon.
Dudes.
Cheers.
Peace out.